Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link on this Friday, the 27th of January. I'm Eunice Wanjiru in Bonn, Germany.
And I'm Crispin Mwakideo, bringing you the latest on what has been trending today on the social media.
In today's program, we hear some of the expectations of the Gambians from the new president, Adama Barrow.
Our right to our voice has been seized. And I believe Adama, with the man he is, would be able to deliver on all these areas.
And the African Union gears up for the election of their next chairperson. Abdoulaye Batili from Senegal is one of the candidates.
Implementation is about the political will. It is time for us to take our moral responsibility before the African continent, before the African people.
And on social media, we get to hear what people are saying about the ongoing crisis in Cameroon's English-speaking regions.
All that coming up in a few moments, but first let's hear what's been happening around the world.
I'm Mark Caldwell with the DW News. While British Prime Minister Theresa May prepares to hold talks at the White House with US President Donald Trump about post-Brexit trade ties, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammond, arrived in Brussels on Friday for talks with fellow EU finance ministers. Hammond said Britain would respect the rules, regulations and laws of the European Union for as long as it was a member.
Of course, we want to strengthen our trade ties with the very many trade partners we have around the world, but we're very mindful of our obligations under the treaty and we will follow them precisely.
The Kremlin has announced that Russian President Vladimir Putin and President Trump will speak by telephone on Saturday, a first step towards what Trump has billed as a normalization of relations. The White House has confirmed Saturday calls with the leaders of France and Germany, as well as with Putin. West African nations say they plan to scale back the military force that was used to secure the return of President Adamo Barrow to the Gambia. The ECOWAS mission said there would be a progressive reduction in numbers. It declined to say how many men were part of the mission, but last weekend it was announced that 4,000 troops had been deployed out of a maximum of 7,000. A spokesman for the extremist group Al-Shabaab said on Friday that its fighters killed at least 51 Kenyan soldiers in an attack on a military base in Somalia. But Kenya has denied the claim, saying scores of the extremist fighters were killed when its soldiers repelled the assault. Separately, a court in Nairobi has issued an order blocking the deportation of two South Sudanese opposition figures after an outcry by rights groups over the treatment they would face at home. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. Prosecutors in Germany say they are expanding their probe into Volkswagen's scandal over diesel cars that cheated on emissions tests and claim they have evidence that former Volkswagen CEO Martin Winterkorn may have known of the cheating earlier than he has claimed. Prosecutors also say they have added 16 names to their list of suspects, and a total of 37 people are now under investigation. Annette Weisbach reports for Deutsche Welle from Frankfurt.
Before, Volkswagen always was saying that the number of people who actually knew about the cheating software was a very small circle of people, and that is not adding to the credibility of the Volkswagen management.
A court in the Czech Republic has rejected a discrimination suit by a Somali refugee who was banned from wearing a hijab in a nursing school, the first case of its kind in the EU state. The plaintiff's lawyer had sought an apology and financial compensation for alleged discrimination. The court ruled in favour of the school, which argued that the young woman had never formally enrolled in the establishment. For more news and information, please visit our website dw.com. I'm Mark Caldwell.
You're listening to Africa Link with me, Eunice Wanjiru.
And Crispin Mwakideo.
Just a day after the Gambia's new president, Adama Barrow, made his triumphant return to his country, plans have been announced that the leader will be inaugurated at a ceremony on February 18. There are also plans by the West African nations to reduce the number of military forces that secured the return of the new president. There are still no details of Barrow's agenda, but Gambians are hoping that Barrow will open the country up and grant the people more freedoms than they had under the former regime. Ole Tangin Jr. with more.
President Adama Barrow arrived from Senegal just days after the former longtime leader, Yahya Jammeh, had gone into exile in Equatorial Guinea. Thousands of Gambians came out to greet the new president as he disembarked the plane at the airport in the capital, Banjul. His arrival was met with excitement, but also high expectations.
The stake is more than one person. The stake is more than one group. Communities are important. The institutions that are put in place, both public, private, NGO, civil society, are all important. And we all contribute to this. And I will expect that we will all work closely and harness what we have, because Gambia have a big potential.
Barrow has said that the Gambia will no longer seek to withdraw from the International Criminal Court and will investigate alleged abuses of power under Jammeh. The regional group ECOWAS is one of the organizations that has pledged to support the new administration. Mohamed Ibn Chambas is the executive secretary of ECOWAS and was present when Barrow landed in Banjul.
The UN and working with ECOWAS and the AU and the international community will continue to support this democratic transition, work for the quick stabilization and security of this government, the president, his vice president, and other members of the government, and to support the consolidation of democracy for the development of this country.
Jammeh was the last leader in all of West Africa who came to power in a coup. Many leaders in the region came to power as part of the opposition and were quick to lend their support to Barrow shortly after the election results of his win were announced in early December. One supporter said that he hopes Barrow's return will unite the country, but is also looking for justice after Jammeh's 22-year rule.
Justice, we've all seen a lot of miscarriages of justice that have been taken in this country for the last 22 years. Freedom has been seized completely. Nobody is even sure of who to trust, who to talk to. Our right to our voice has been seized. And I believe Adama, with the man he is, would be able to deliver on all these areas.
President Barrow was reportedly resting today and reuniting with his family after his son was attacked and killed last week by a dog in the capital city.
Ole Tangen Jr.
Eunice, we have been following the arrival of Gambia's president, Adama Barrow, to his home country on social media. And it's very interesting to see, of course, what he will now, what steps he will now take after assuming power.
Yes, yes, indeed. He was inaugurated in Senegal after former president Yahya Jammeh refused to hand over power following his election defeat.
That's right. And Robinson Malifua commented, "There is no place like home." Francisca Essenambonin also wrote on our Facebook page saying that she is also praying for the Gambia.
Now, moving on, President Donald Trump is set to meet his first world leader since taking office, British Prime Minister Theresa May. The meeting comes a day after Theresa May addressed Republicans in Philadelphia. May said relations between the UK and the US have defined the world. Her meeting with Trump in the Oval Office is being hailed by the British government as a sign that the transatlantic special relationship is valued by the new administration. NATO, Russia and trade are top of the agenda for Trump's talks with Britain's May. The two leaders are quite different, so how compatible are the different ways of governing? A question I put to Emma Wallis at DW's Europe Desk.
Well, on the surface, they do look like very different people, Theresa May and Donald Trump. And they also look like they have quite different policies. Although Theresa May was speaking at the Republican meeting in Philadelphia on Thursday evening, and she did underline that they are all conservatives. But yeah, on the surface, one, Mr. Trump looks like a loud, brash businessman with little regard for tradition, politics and diplomacy. And Mrs. May is the vicar's daughter from Britain who thinks very, very carefully before she makes speeches. There's an added problem, perhaps, for some people, definitely for Mr. Trump's critics, of his attitudes to women. So how he will deal with a female leader will be interesting. And also his recent comments on the use of torture and his disregard for NATO and his America First protectionism, they all contrast with Mrs. May's recent speeches, where she's been talking about making Britain global, embracing the world and being a free trading partner.
And why is Theresa May the first leader Trump is meeting?
Good question. I was wondering that myself, so I did a bit of Googling. I mean, it's difficult to say. This is all speculation. I read one report in the British newspaper, The Telegraph, which said that Donald Trump had joked in private that Theresa May was his Maggie. That's in reference to the special relationship between the US and the UK that was forged between Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher in the 80s. A more cynical person might say that Britain's desperation might be rather attractive to Mr. Trump, used to negotiating hard-nosed business deals. He's interested in protectionism. He's always talking about America first. And he has a lucrative export market in the UK already. So why wouldn't he want to maintain that and get something more for America too? Apparently, again, according to speculation in the newspapers, in the British newspapers, Mr. Trump is hoping to cement this special relationship with a state visit to Britain in the summer. And he's reported to have asked for a full Monty visit, which includes all that pomp and circumstance and ceremony that Britain does so well. He apparently wants even more than any of his predecessors in the US.
DW's Emma Wallace. The African Union is gearing up for the elections of the Commission's chairperson. Kenya, Chad, Equatorial Guinea, Senegal, and Botswana have fielded candidates for the position of the chairperson. The frontrunners come from the regions from Africa, other than Southern Africa, since the outgoing chairperson, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, was from the Southern region. This means that the candidate from Botswana has slim chances of clinching the much-coveted post on the African continent. From Addis Ababa, Coletta Wanjohi compiled a profile of some of the candidates.
Kenya has fronted its Foreign Affairs Minister, Amina Mohamed. The 55-year-old has served as the United Nations Assistant Secretary General and Deputy Executive Director of the United Nations Environment Programme in Nairobi. In her 26 years work experience, she has also represented Kenya as an ambassador and permanent representative for various international organizations.
So listen, it's not just about resources, it's about how effectively we use them, how efficiently we use them, right? And we can all agree that with the limited resources that we have, agree on a limited set of priorities.
51-year-old Agapito Mbah Mokui is the candidate for Equatorial Guinea. He is the youngest of all the five and has also been the foreign affairs minister of his country since 2010. Before, he worked with the United Nations. Agapito is attempting for the second round, having failed to get victory in July 2016.
We see that there are groups and important blocs in America, in Asia, everywhere. Africa, we are so small. If we are not together, we will not be able to cope.
The West African bloc has fronted 69-year-old Abdoulaye Bathily from Senegal. He is a senior minister in the office of the President of Senegal and a former deputy speaker of the National Assembly. On the diplomatic front, Bathily is the special representative of the UN Secretary General for Central Africa and head of UN Regional Office for Central Africa.
Implementation is about the political will. It is time for us to take our moral responsibility before the African continent, before the African people.
Coletta Wanjohi filed that report.
Now, Eunice, the crisis in Cameroon's English-speaking region shows no sign of ending.
Cameroonians in the English-speaking regions have long been complaining about marginalization by the French-speaking capital in Yaoundé. But the situation has worsened with the government blocking internet access.
That's right. And we've been trying to talk to our correspondents, but most of them seem to be also afraid to share any information of what is happening there. Anyway, on our Facebook page, DW's Ziporanjeri briefly summarizes how the problem started and developed to where we are. Right, and you can see the interview, which is in a three questions, three answers format by visiting our webpage. And while there, remember to share the video as well. Just one comment from Fonui Ransome, who comments, "It is not about languages. We want to go back to a federal state."
Thank you, Crispin, and thanks to all our listeners. Stay tuned to Africa Link. You're listening to Africa Link. I'm Eunice Onjuro.
And I'm Crispin Mwakideo from the Social Media Desk.
Still to come in the next 15 minutes, we meet a blogger based in the UK but blogs about and discusses issues in Tanzania.
The reason for starting the blog was that I felt I had some interesting things to say about Tanzanian politics and accountability and the media and development issues in Tanzania in general.
And are boys born smarter than girls? We'll have your responses later in the show on our social media segment.
Stay tuned for these stories and more. But first, the International Green Week is one of the world's biggest exhibitions for food, agriculture and gardening industries. The exhibition in Berlin brings together industry representatives, civil society, experts and ministers from around the globe. It started on January 20th and will end on Sunday the 29th. Daniel Peltz in Berlin met with Dr. Agnes Kalibata, a former Rwandan Minister for Agriculture and currently the President of the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa, who was at the exhibition. He started by asking her how food security could be improved and the agricultural sector be expanded in Africa.
From an agro perspective, we farmers have the right access to seeds. The farmers have access to the right fertilizers. Is agriculture being financed significantly? And right now we know that of the development finance that is out there, especially in the private sector, only 4.5% is targeted to agriculture. And then there's the markets issue. From a farmer's perspective, the bottom line would be to have access to key technologies, good seeds, good fertilizers, for them to increase their yields.
So if you look at small-scale farmers in Africa, how could they get this kind of access?
We are looking at companies that can actually be able to have seeds that are suitable for these environments where farmers are working. We are looking at businesses, SMEs, that can actually be able to move fertilizers from wherever they are being produced to near these farmers. So farmers are already accessing inputs to some extent, but very limited extent, less than 20%. It's what we do from a development perspective as countries to open up that space so that more farmers have more access. From a research and development perspective, to open up that space to ensure that farmers that are being stressed from a climate change perspective have the right seeds to be able to deal with that, to be able to produce.
Dr. Agnes Kalibata, President of the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa.
Blog Report.
Blogging in Tanzania has become more challenging. The government of President John Pombe Magufuli has cracked down on bloggers and social media users who are perceived as being critical of the government. Ben Taylor runs a blog known as Mtega, which discusses about issues in Tanzania. Although he is now based in the UK, Ben has been telling Crispin Mwakideo why he started the blog and what he hopes to achieve with it.
The reason for starting the blog was that I felt I had some interesting things to say about Tanzanian politics and accountability and the media and development issues in Tanzania in general. And I felt that a blog would give me a space where I could express my views without them being edited by anyone else. And it also gives me a chance to really formulate my ideas on something. I kind of feel that I never really know what I think about an issue until I start trying to write about it. And when I start writing about it, I find my thoughts get clarified, and it's a very good way of thinking something through.
All right. Now, Maxence Melo, founder of Jamii Forums in Tanzania, is under arrest. How would you describe the blogging landscape under President John Magufuli?
The blogging landscape in Tanzania is complicated. It's not straightforward to be a blogger at the moment in Tanzania. There was a Cybercrime Act passed actually under the previous president, President Kikwete, in 2015, which makes various things illegal. But when the act was brought in, we were told it was going to be mostly about preventing online fraud and pornography and things like that. But in practice, the use of the act has been mostly against people using social media and bloggers who are critical of the government. Usually people actually reporting things in what they see as private platforms have often been arrested or charged with offences under the Cybercrime Act. In the case of Maxence, three charges against him, two of which were under cybercrime laws. He was refusing to divulge his sources for some information that was published on his website, Jamii Forums. The third offence that he's been charged with is something that many people were unaware was even an offence in Tanzania, which is to use .tz domain name. So if you operate a site within Tanzania and your domain name is .com or .org, then you are, according to this law that now people have just become aware of, you are breaking the law. So JimmyForums.com was accused of breaking this law, which, as I say, many people were not even aware that it was a law until this case.
But your blog also is under Mtega.com. Are you now also under investigation?
My blog is Mtega.com, but I believe that as I'm outside the country, I used to live in Tanzania. My wife is Tanzanian. My children are Tanzanian. But I'm no longer based in Tanzania, so I believe that this particular law doesn't apply in my case.
As a foreigner who blogs about Tanzania, do you feel more free to talk about issues than the local bloggers there?
Well, I feel as a foreigner, there are questions that I have to be ready to answer about the legitimacy of me writing about political issues in a country of which I'm not a citizen. That's true, but as I mentioned, my wife is Tanzanian, my children are Tanzanian. I lived in Tanzania for a long time, so I think that gives me insights and a right to say things which I think are useful and valuable. And yes, I agree, as you suggest, that I'm a little bit more free to say things which are perhaps critical of government than some other bloggers and journalists might be.
Ben Taylor there. Let's now move to sports. Tomorrow, the much-anticipated quarter of the AFCON finals will commence, and of course, it is the beginning of the knockout stages. All the teams that qualified are really strong. Bruce Omani from DW's Kiswahili service joins us now. Bruce, which matches do you think will be exciting to watch?
Teams that have qualified look so strong, and starting with Saturday fixtures, at Libreville, Burkina Faso will play against Tunisia, and the match for me for Saturday is going to be the one at Franceville. Senegal versus Cameroon, West African countries, both giants, football giants, and they have experience. On Sunday at OM, Democratic Republic of Congo will play Ghana, and Egypt will play Morocco. Both games are also look to be very tough.
Some soccer pundits have predicted that Senegal, or the Lions of Teranga, as they are called, are really a tough team to beat and might win the trophy. What's your take?
They've played well at the group stage. They've been impressive. They've been consistent. And even we saw during the last game, they drew against Algeria, yet they played Team B. But you see, this is a tournament, and now the games begin, the real games begin. The style of play will change, because at the group stage, it's all about, you know, trying to collect maximum points. But as we progress, I mean, these are the knockout stages whereby you have to win. That means it's all attack. Teams must attack to win games, and that also means they might be exposed defensively.
Now, let's talk about Ghana. Its captain, Asamoah Gyan, fears he may be ruled out of the AFCON after suffering an injury. So how much of a blow would it be for the Black Stars in case he was sidelined?
To some point, it is a blow, because Asamoah Gyan is such an experienced player who has been playing with Ghana for around 4 tournaments. And being out, it means, you know, his contribution to the pitch is very important. In fact, being a captain, he's a motivator. And the boys, Ghana being a young team, the boys might be destabilized on the pitch. So probably his absence might cost Ghana.
Now to the Bundesliga. What is there to expect from the upcoming matches?
Well, the game of the weekend is definitely RB Leipzig versus Hoffenheim. That means number 2 and number 3 on the log. It's going to be a very tough match, very physical. It promises to bring all the fireworks, because both teams are trying to pile pressure on the league leaders, Bayern Munich, but also to book for a ticket to play in Europe next season. On Saturday still, another game that could be nice is Bayer Leverkusen versus Borussia Mönchengladbach.
DW Sports Editor with Kiswahili Service, Bruce Amani.
Now, on the AFCON quarterfinals, we did ask our Facebook users which team between Senegal and Cameroon will proceed to the semi-final. Ishmael Rod said, "None. I'm just looking forward to the action." And me too, Eunice. I don't know about you.
Well,
You're a football fan?
Not really, but I'm sure it's quite interesting with this teams, you know.
All right. Anyway, let's go on. Eunice, what do you think? Real geniuses can only be men, right?
Who says that? I don't believe that.
Well, you don't have to. But a study by US psychologists in the journal Science discovered that six-year-old girls believe that really, really smart people can only be male. Of course, it's a stereotype, but this psychologist was surprised that such a stereotype is so strong at a very early stage.
I'm not sure. I want to hear what people have been saying, but please humor me.
All right, here we go. QJ Jonathan commented, "Some girls are very smart than us boys. It is just that they feel discouraged because of gender." And Katrina Katzenbach was a bit surprised by the study, saying, "Seriously? Everyone has an equal chance to be smart, intelligent, wise, cunning, etc. We have to be more encouraging to our girls." And Shaa Zaada commented, "With all due respect to women, most of the discoveries and inventions were done by men. I don't know why, but this is a fact. Maybe women are smarter in something else."
Well, you know what they say, Crispin. Behind every successful man is a smart woman.
Well, and you just had to say that, Eunice. I know. Actually, Josie Thomas believes that many ideas that men take credit for are initiated by women. Last but not least, Haik Hakob says, "Interesting, but we need to be very cautious about deriving conclusions from this study."
Okay, Crispin, enough of the studies. Any other topic that has been trending today?
Actually, yes, and there is some tragic news coming from South Africa, where news of the death of gospel artist Lundi Tiamara has shocked music fans.
Oh yes, according to his manager, Lundi died peacefully in his sleep after battling stomach tuberculosis and liver complications.
That's right, and the hashtag Lundi Tiamara has been trending, with many fans and well-wishers offering their condolences. Karabo Mogoko wrote, "May his soul rest in peace." And Jane Kathabethe commented, "Lundi Tiamara sang from the heart. Whenever he sang, it was as if he was giving you a piece of his heart. R.I.P. And the Twitter handle of the South African government had this message: "We would like to extend our condolences on the passing of gospel singer Lundi Tiamara." And even Julius Malema's Economic Freedom Fighters Party sent condolences, saying, "May his soul rest in perfect revolutionary peace."
Well, we do pass our condolences also to the family and friends. Now, Crispin, let's go back to Cameroon about this issue with English-speaking regions, you know, being burned down or being pulled down upon.
Exactly. It has become very, very tense there, and the government has blocked internet access to the residents of these regions where they speak English. And they have been complaining for a long time that they are being marginalized and the French language is becoming more and more influential in these regions, and some are even now calling for secession from the French speaking regions. So it's a tense atmosphere, and we are closely watching that, of course.
So how are the reactions on the Facebook page or on Twitter?
Right. There is a lady who goes by the name Rosie Awori, and she says, "It is unfortunate it has boiled down to Anglophone versus Francophone, yet we are all one people, one colour." And Linus Atiku says, because we posted a video of one of our colleagues, Zipporah, who explains the situation there very briefly. And Linus Atiku says of the interview, "It's a very good job what DW is doing. We need more of this in-depth analysis and videos to expose the atrocities of the dictator Paul Biya on Southern Cameroon."
Well, like we said, we've been trying to reach our correspondents from Cameroon, but it has proven to be difficult because they're all not allowed to, you know, speak to us here, being that they want to stop this conflict and these strikes that are going on. So tune in and make sure you go to our Facebook page, that's DW Africa, and leave your comment below. And we would be glad to read your comments here on the show. Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you. And we wish you a wonderful weekend. For me, Eunice Wanjiro.
And Crispin Mwakideo.
Have a great evening.